And now, this is a special presentation of TBK Live and TheBuzzKillMagazine.com. Welcome to the most random show on the internet. Welcome to TBK Live. Today we have a very special show for you. We are being joined by two very special guests and Jake. I'm not going to give you an intro today, sir. None at all. But we are being joined by Mark Allen Stewart from Hydraulic Entertainment.
Hey.
And the former lead singer of the Misfits, Michael Graves. Also doing his own thing now. So
been doing it for a while.
This is true. I just found out something, by the way, about him. I did not know.
What?
Snow White's Poison Apple.
That's right.
That's
exactly we used right. this. We used one of the songs for a Halloween show 2 years ago. Honest to goodness, and actually paid the rights for it as well.
Did you really?
Yeah. So
what,
that was
what song?
Was
it Michael's?
I don't remember. I mean, it was 2013, but I was like, we have every album now because of that one song. So I didn't know you were part of that. So
yeah, a British group headquartered in Sweden. Really, really talented folks. They contacted us and said, hey, you know, we have a dream, and that would be to do a single with Michael Graves. So their agent contacted us. We put the deal together, and we did one song off the album, and it was great. It was a really, really cool song. Good time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to bring it up. I did not know that until I was actually doing my research for the show. I figure you know a lot, though.
Maybe. I started listening to them back in the 90s when I was probably 8 or 9 years old. Famous Monsters came out roughly 99-ish, 97, wasn't it?
99.
So, yeah, I was about 9 years old. That was my favorite album for the longest time, and I eventually went back and listened to American Psycho. And that's all I listened to. I can't – a lot of people are going to hate me. I can't stand Danzig. Like, I respect him. Like, I respect Elvis, but I don't go and pop an Elvis CD in my car. You know what I mean? Very often.
Yeah.
But, so to me, growing up, you are the Misfits to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I haven't had much sleep. I've been in Memphis. I haven't slept since then because I was afraid I wouldn't get up.
And not to kind of ruin a surprise or anything, but we will announce Michael's playing tomorrow night. We're at the Comic-Con all day tomorrow. Then Michael's playing tomorrow night. And just so you know, and this is kind of world premiere, so congratulations.
Exclusive, to you, yeah.
He's doing all Elvis covers. So
oh, yes.
Joygasm.
Yeah.
We're going to wait to the end of the podcast to bust that. But.
Right. Evidently, he's being joined by Corey Graves.
And Corey Graves.
And by the way, that's an exclusive. We can't guarantee that because you know how busy Corey is.
Right.
Novella and the picture book and so forth, but we're hoping.
I love his telenovela, by the way. Love it. I have a thing for those things anyway.
That's the hazelnut chocolate spread.
That is very true. So really quick, what are both of your influences? I know you do movies and write scripts, and who are your musical influences as well?
I kind of hate that question only because I have such an eclectic taste in music. I've never been cliquey and I've never really put anything musically in a box. So, I mean, you know, I'll listen to Simon and Garfunkel, Barry Manilow, Billy Joel to Lamb of God, Megadeth, you know, Def Leppard. Just if it's a good song and it has substance and it moves me emotionally, I love it. So, you know.
Guilty pleasure song. Since you said that already, what's your biggest guilty pleasure song?
One Direction, Story of My Life.
There is.
There's an exclusive as well.
Great song. It's a great song.
Just a commentary note, if you can't get the video in now because of the storm, Michael's wearing a pink skirt, just to let everyone understand.
Stilettos.
Is that, I love their first album. my influence, it was funny, Corey, you said you were 9 for Famous Monsters in 1999. Mm. I was 89, interestingly enough, during that time. And The original Four Yakovin Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine was a gigantic influence. But as far as writing and directing and creating is concerned, by far it was William Castle. I mean, he created, you know, he did House on Haunted Hill, 13 Ghosts, Rosemary's Baby, which was a huge film for him. And he was the guy that would create a script, but he'd create a gimmick in the theater at the same time. And so The Tingler was the story about this spine creature that was in all of us, that if you screamed, it would come out. And so on the screen, when you would see this creature, he would put little shock bells underneath the seats in theaters. So every time you'd see the creature, he'd push a button and it would shock people underneath their chair, and they would scream and jump. And so that was probably the biggest influence.
So, Mike, let's talk about what have you done since The Misfits? You've got a big slew of albums. Probably one of my favorites is
The
One
Given.
Can
you say slew on the internet? I don't know whether that's...
We can say a lot more.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we can.
Oh, we can't say slew. Okay.
On this show, we can say the seven words you cannot say on television. So
great.
Anything goes.
All right.
But probably... Actually... Oh, lost my train of thought again. Maybe I need to have you do this. feed you information. Yeah. Let's talk about the album you did with Damien Eccles, if you feel like it. That was a great. How do you keep in contact with him?
No,
you don't.
I came into that whole thing just like most people do through the Paradise Lost movies. I watched it. There was a tour I had booked that. I wasn't very excited about. So after watching the movies, I went on the internet to see what was happening with the case and saw that Damien had just written and released a book called Almost Home. So I wrote to Damien's wife and got in touch with the folks that ran WM3.org and told them that I had an idea to bring out Damien's book and just kind of spread the word about the case to anybody and everyone that would listen. So over the course of a few months, in talking back and forth to Lori and getting to know the guys at WM3.org and writing back and forth to Damien, I had the idea to, it first was to put music to Damien's poetry, and then it became something that became songs, and we started writing songs together. Until he was released from jail a few years ago, we had never had a conversation. It was just all in letters back and forth. And that's how that album came to be. I recorded it in Conway, Arkansas.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That was my next question. What ties do you have to Little Rock? Because I mentioned, or when we first started talking about getting something together, Mark had said y'all were going to the Little Rock area.
Yeah, I had moved out there. I spent a year out there doing some work and setting up the hydraulic entertainment lab in Little Rock and writing and getting ready for, this year that we're having now.
Y'all have an office in Little Rock?
We did.
Did.
We did.
As a matter of fact, two albums that we did. We did a two album set with a Russian band by the name of Night of Sanheim, and they contacted us and said, as we hear often, "Boy, we'd love to. Michael's our idol. We'd love to do a project with him." So, and they're in Russia. We're in the U.S. And they're unbelievably gifted group of artists, and they had an album in Russian. And they wanted us to produce the album. So on our label, Vial of Venom, distributed through Hydraulic Entertainment, they wanted, that's all they wanted. But maybe have Michael work on one song with them. We listened to the thing, and Michael and I are looking at each other saying, this is incredible. Matter of fact, Michael said they have a quality kind of like a Young and Mature Doors. And Michael Sharapovov, the lead singer, is just an unbelievably gifted artist. So we had this idea. Because they said, we really want our name in the U.S. So we could have just produced the album and distributed the album. But Michael and I were sitting talking saying, wait a minute. Let's do a two CD set. We'll do their album in Russian. But we'll do the same songs with their instrumentation. Michael singing the same lyrics in English. So we call it kind of the rock and roll Rosetta Stone, because you listen to it in Russian and you listen to it in English. And it's a phenomenal album. Michael did that when he was in recorded that when he was in Little Rock. And that was a full band album. And then we did an acoustic version. So it was Zombies Unite was the first two CD set. And then we came back with an acoustic version of that called Return of the Zombies. And Michael recorded that in Little Rock as well.
Where did you guys do Vagabound at?
Up in the Pocono Mountains, in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, is a Soundmind Studios. We've done all but two. We've done 10 albums up there, and it's secluded. It's out nowhere. There's an on-premise apartment, so we just go up there and buckle down for 10 or 15 days, knock stuff out.
Is that where y'all did y'all's camp out that y'all had advertised on your?
So,
how did that go?
Camp Scareway.
Camp Scareway.
We've done two. So, Michael referenced about Hydraulic Entertainment. Everything we do has four sections. It's got a musical component, a video or film component. It has an experiential component and a merchandise component. So, we don't do one or two or three. We do all four. The experiential component, very much like the Friendly Neighborhood Comic-Con, where we have the ability to interact with fans. We created this situation where it's up in Jim Thorpe, PA, and there's these small cabins, and we have a dozen or so fans. And Michael, tell them what happened. We feel really guilty because we have so much fun.
I don't think that's a bad thing, though, at all.
Camp Scareway is great. You know, everybody comes out. We hang out. I build a giant fire and keep the giant fire going all night. We're going to take a little dance break.
Public service message. Please mute your phones during the broadcast. Thank you.
That's probably one of my vendors. I will let you handle this.
All right.
I will be listening from afar.
Continue on with the Camp Scareway thing.
Yeah, big fire. We hang out. I play. You know, I play at least a good hour's worth of music. We do the old – one of the things that – I'm an old theater kid, so I like the – this exercise that we do, we all sit around the fire and we do, one person has a story and then we go around to each person.
I was a theater kid too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Add to the story.
Yeah. And then keep going. Yeah.
And it's great because, like, for example, last time we did it, there was an individual who he was the last person on earth to, other than being in Camp Scareway, to participate in something like that. And he did. He participated, and it's just a great time.
So do you guys do just mostly horror movie stuff when you do your movies as well, or
horror science fiction, kind of a combination? We are in pre-production for our first collaborative feature film.
Nice.
Based on one of the songs that Michael created from the Wind Worlds Collide album by the name of 3 Days Till Dawn. And we're going to be filming it this summer, and we're really excited about it.
Can you give anything about it other than
so?
Because you know, people at home are going to be like, "What's this about?"
It's it's centered in Central New York. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Central New York, and Michael, who's the lead, the star. Michael is a member of a local militia, and the militia is relatively passive. It's just kind of there for formality. And I'll just say that a very large ecological event occurs. And in one little area in central New York, and all of the surrounding areas lose power, they lose audio, video, they lose the ability to communicate with the outside. Michael and his small group of militia are sent in by the state to investigate. Things don't get pretty after that.
You sold me on the movie. I mean, honestly, do you prefer music or acting more? Like, what do you prefer at this point? Do you enjoy, like, I know they kind of, it's both performing, and I know you said you're a former theater kid.
I don't think that I have a preference. Again, what we do at Hydraulic Entertainment and working with Mark, the ability for me to express myself as an artist is, it's like I always hit the lottery. and because I can express myself and communicate through music. And then on the flip side of that, I'm able to then take on a character and express myself in that way as well, but and still sticking, you know, with the music.
Right.
Which is, again, one of the things that I think makes Hydraulic Entertainment and the music and the films that we're making so special, again, because you have the song and you have that expression, that communication, and then you have another dimension of it, which is the films and the videos and the acting. And
Michael obviously is known as being a punk rock icon, and his incredible versatile voice. People ask us, in 4 years, how have you done a dozen or so albums? That's impossible. We have full band and we have acoustic. You have to have a great voice to do acoustic. We have the monster That's rock voice, like When Worlds Collide in Bedlam. And then we have more of the traditional rock, folk rock almost voice. So that would be an album like Wanderer or Vagabond. And his voice is incredible. He has three octaves to play with, which is incredible. But I will selfishly say that I love working with Michael in the acting that he does, because he is a phenomenal actor. And we've done five projects together, all very, very, very different. We're storytellers. Michael's a storyteller when he writes a song. You listen to one of his songs, any song that you want to reference, it's a story. It's a kind of a mini movie. So when we have the ability to create a film or video, we love to tell stories with hooks that get people really interested. And Michael, that's why we're so excited about the feature, because Michael's a really, really good actor. So we're kind of bent on making sure that we flex that muscle.
I really am starting to lean a lot more towards the dramatic side of things and making videos. And I really do enjoy that and get very, very excited. Constantly, are you writing? Are you writing? I can't wait to do 3 Days Till Dawn. It's going to be so, so great.
What about Lost Skeletons? What would that be classified under?
The pure monster rock. So here's the quick story, and then I'll let Michael kind of finish. First project we did together was Vagabond, and Michael really wasn't approaching the monster rock genre. He hadn't approached it in a while, and because he was kind of spreading his artistic wings in other genres and dimensions. I produced a film called Lost Skeleton Returns Again, which has kind of turned into a cult sci-fi classic film, and it was basically an homage to really bad 50s sci-fi movies. Michael and I talked, as we always do, and I kind of coerced and convinced him to consider getting back into the genre. So, in Michael's character, the skull character that he's known for and famous for, we kind of recrafted that to this character we call the Skellcrow, half skeleton, half scarecrow. It's kind of spooky on both sides. So we leveraging a little bit of the legacy of Lost Skeleton Returns Again, we created that album Lost Skeleton Returns. And in that album are all three stages at that point of Michael's horror rock, monster rock voice. We had a couple of the songs that he crafted when he wrote when he was in Misfits, a couple songs from Punk Rock Is Dead, the album that he did kind of midway in his career, and then we had five songs that were newly created by Michael to form this two-decade package of all three segments of Michael's monster rock voice.
Earth vs. Spiders was probably my favorite song off that. That was a newer one, wasn't it? Because honestly, I haven't listened to much from the Misfits. Since the Misfits until, I think...
Leave this interview right now and go sit and listen to all the episodes. Come back when you're finished, and then we'll have a man talk, okay?
I picked up... I heard a cover, or not a cover, but... I lost my train of thought again. I picked up Lost Skeletons. That was the first solo album of yours I picked up. And then there were some acoustic shows that you had done that were recorded live. And so that's what piqued my interest. So after this interview, we're going to go downstairs and do some shopping.
Merch up. I will also, Michael, can I tell
them? Sure.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. We're getting ready to do a project. The last Camp Scareaway that we did, again, Michael does a full hour and 10-minute performance. We happen to have a buddy of ours, Art, that that filmed and recorded this live performance, and it's outdoors in a campfire in the middle of the Poconos, pitch black. And we just got the video back, and it's phenomenal audio and video quality. So we're going to be releasing that as a separate DVD project. And that's another exclusive.
That is awesome. Our listeners are going to be – you guys have got probably a lot of business coming over the next few weeks and months. Trust me.
We're ready.
It's coming.
Hydraulic-entertainment.com. Hydraulic-, don't forget the dash, hydraulic-entertainment.com.
What is the URL, Michael?
Hydraulic-entertainment.com.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
A little louder.
Get the dash.
So how did you guys actually meet?
Michael won me in a poker game, and it's a little embarrassing to talk about.
And I don't play much poker,
just the two times. When Mike was with the Misfits, I was in the internet business, and I missed that whole period. I'm music fan, historian, missed that whole period. Somebody gave me a book of Basil Gogos, who's a comic artist from the 50s and 60s, still around today. And in the back of it was the two famous monsters of Filmland cover that he did for them. And I looked and said, Misfits, that's phenomenal. I'd never heard of the band before. Did a little Googling, heard Michael sing. I said, holy cow, I would have loved this if I don't know where I was, but I would have loved it. Reached out and I said, you know what? This might make a really interesting biopic. So reached out to Michael. We actually connected through LinkedIn. LinkedIn, if you're out there, that you can help us with some advertising. That's fantastic. And and we met in March of 2012 and tried to figure it out. And 5 months later, in August of 2012, good Lord created an opportunity for us. And we said, we're going to do two albums together no matter what. And that was 12 albums ago.
12 albums since 2012.
That's correct.
Jesus.
You are a very busy man.
So, this weekend, where can people find your merchandise? And how much would... Oh, fuck, man. I can't even...
By the way, I don't know if you guys know, you can curse on this show. I didn't... There's...
Heck yeah.
I'll bleep that. It's all right.
I really probably should have waited.
Where can people find your merchandise, and how much is this stuff going
to
be?
You walk in to the venue, to the community center, and you sprint to the far left corner, and you're going to see Michael Graves with a big smile on his face, arms out, ready to hug anybody there.
Absolutely. I'm
now,
a hugger.
He is. Now, as far as price is concerned, $1,100 for a CD sounds like a lot.
But now hear us out.
Yeah, just come shrink wrapped. You don't have to do that here. It's pre-wrapped for us. CDs are $15 unsigned and $25 signed. DVDs are $10 unsigned and $20 signed. And then Michael has a bunch of signed photos and posters that he will inscribe to you, and those are $15 each.
Sweet. And where is this located, Richard?
At the Perigold Community Center tomorrow. Tomorrow.
What is the date?
July 9th and 10th. Or 9th and a little bit on the 10th. I don't know. I'm still July 9th and 10th. Finley Neighborhood Comic Expo at the Perigold Community Center. $10 for children, $15 for adults. 2 days. Just a measly $20.
Now, do immature adults get a deal, or it's still
That's actually a good question.
Immature adults.
Right.
And don't forget, included in that price, the $10 or the $15, is the Michael Graves performance.
Shut up. What? No, wait. Yes. No, there's an extra charge for that, right?
Get out of town.
There is not.
Oh, come on. You can't do that in the state of Arkansas.
We just did it. It's covered.
It just happened.
Boom.
Hello. So, let me get this straight, because I'm new in town. By the way, if you walk into Paragold and you talk to 12, you ask 12 people, what's the best barbecue in the city, what's the answer?
You're going to get 12 different answers. Oinkies, Dinkies, Linkies.
Schwartz Barbecue. I don't know where that is. But anyway, we'll see. Evidently, free Pepsi or whatever.
Couches is gone, so it's all messed up now.
So you get your ticket.
Got it.
You do the entire Comic-Con. You meet the guests. You buy your merch. You knock yourself out. Mm-hmm. All right, you get a little snack. You do whatever. You run out. You get a pizza. You probably go to Schwartz's Barbecue, whatever. And then you come back, and from call it 6 to 7 o'clock. You and I are going to do a Q&A.
That's right.
Get in. Everybody can ask anything about anything other than things we don't want to talk about, but anything.
Anything else. No holds barred.
No. Well, so,
not to be confused with the terrible movie from the 1980s. Go ahead.
That's a valid reference.
Thank you.
And then it's 7:30.
Yep.
7:30 here on prem.
Right here.
Live Michael Graves Monster Rock acoustic performance, ladies and gentlemen.
In the room we're recording the show in.
I just got goosebumps.
That's true.
But then again, I just look at Jake in his shorts, and that might be it. But that it could be something else. I don't know. But that,
so I'm looking for a co-host for a month. If you need it, I'm telling you.
We need one that's not half brain dead.
It's all right, man. It's all right. Putting everything together, you got to be tired.
It's been a hellish 4 months, but it's been worth it. It's going to be worth it.
Definitely.
Yeah, it is. We're psyched, dude.
Guys, come out to the Perigold Community Center and meet everyone, Michael Graves and Mark Allen Stewart. And I'm going to remember that forever, by the way.
That's why I yelled at you earlier.
Raining irons right on your forehead.
So if I get an autograph from you, I'm getting it tattooed. There we go. Guys, don't forget to visit the Friendly Neighborhood Comic Expo, friendlyneighborhoodcomicexpo.com. Don't forget to visit our stores. I'm going to get this wrong every time. Shop.spreadshirt.com/TheBuzzKillMagazine or Zazzle.com/CravingHumor. Also, don't forget to visit hydraulic-entertainment.com.
Don't forget the dash.
And Michael and I would just like to thank both of you. And Jake, you reached out and you offered the opportunity for us to come to Perigold and be guests. We can't wait, and we really appreciate it, and we're really glad we're here.
Guys, you have no idea how much this means to us, for you guys doing this show as well. I mean, honestly.
Come on out tomorrow. Come on, y'all. We're waiting. Let's go. Bring barbecue.
Apparently, they really want some barbecue. Guys, we're going to end this show like we do every stinking show. I figure you may know this reference. I'm hoping one of you knows this reference. Have you ever seen the movie Manos, the Hands of Fate?
Sure.
Torgo. You know what to do. Take us home tonight, sir.
You cannot stay. The master would not approve.
Take me home tonight. I don't want to let you go to see the light. Take me home tonight. Listen, honey, just like what I say. Be my little baby.